Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 5, verse 19. This realm with God that we're tapping into right now, I started introducing it as recently as the dreaming with God, the perambulating. He said, I will walk in you. That word walk in the Greek means perambulate, or to walk out into a situation or an area. The Father will walk with you in the Spirit, but I still was not touching it because I was still discovering the realm. But yesterday, in the last couple of days, He's completely opened us up. And if you understand this realm, it will bring the kingdom of God into the earth. There is no doubt about it. A lot of times what we see right now is the kingdom being brought into the earth is being brought through the gift realm. And that's an awesome realm, because if we didn't have the gift realm, we wouldn't have very much at all. Amen. When I say gift realm, God anoints offices with certain gifts, and you see the expression of those gifts. You'll go to conferences or see them in operation, and you'll see that. And so much of those gift realms will totally bypass who you are, what you are, and God will just anoint you. And it's hard for people to understand how God just anoints you when you have a lot of infrastructure issues going on or dysfunction, but that's the way He is. The gift of calling is about repentance. But there's another realm. The other realm is what the Lord walked in, and that realm is what brings the whole thing down. Amen? And that is what the church must walk in this last days. And I'm learning how to access it, and I'm learning a little bit more about it now. And I had a huge encounter concerning this, and pretty excited about it, say the least. So John 5, verse 19, this realm is going to move fast now that I'm understanding how He's going to do this. Go to verse 17. Jesus answered and said, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Now, He's working for God. He's working with His Father, but that kind of work is not work. That kind of work is fullness of joy, effortless operations with the Father. And He tells you how He's going to do this in verse 19. And Jesus answered and said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself. A lot of people don't like to see the Lord like that. We think that the Lord came down, He did all this because He's the Son of God, and that's Him and we're us, you know, that's Jesus and we're us. But He did this as a prototype for all of us. Amen. And He did this in the same way He was introducing, and this is really what the revelations of John were about, 14, 15, 16, 17, especially, of how to do it His way. And to do it His way, you're going to have to move out of your way, and you got to move out of the old way, too. God had built us too much in that old way, we would have never found this realm. God did us a favor by delaying us, in a sense, by not letting us run out in the old and build something, because in this type of ministry environment, especially in America, you can build something very large, very productive too, but it still will miss the mark. And if you do that, it comes a machine sometime, and you end up just spending all your time in it. And because God put us aside a little bit and brought us down this roadmap of mysteries, because He did that for us, He did us a huge favor. Praise God. Because now I know, I understand what Paul Yonggi Cho tapped into now. Paul Yonggi Cho built the largest church in the world, still standing as the largest church in the world. Nothing's touched it. It's a million-person church. It has a 50,000-seat auditorium. They can pack it out 10 times on a Sunday. And now he talked about how he did this, that God told him. Now, God gave him a vision for his life. I have no aspirations to build the largest church in the world. I'm not looking for mega church, but that's what he had him for him. I want something else. But he tapped in to this supernatural realm, and he wrote a book called The Fourth Dimension. Now, he did it almost effortless, and he really, if you read his book, can't really describe how he did it, but he did it. He tapped into it, and he began to dream with God. And because he began to dream with God, now, I didn't understand what I was just tasting it up to this week, to understand what we were actually tapping into. But now I understand. And today I'm going to try to share that realm with you, because I believe for God's church in the last day to do what he wants us to do before his return, we're going to have to tap that realm. Amen. So verily I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. The Lord himself said that he could do nothing. He did not come here to do this on his own. But what he, what? Seeth the Father do, and whatsoever things he doeth, these things doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth all things that himself doeth. Now, we read that verse in the perspective of where we are, whether we're prophetic, we're praying and we see something and we go do it because we're seeing it through our lenses. That's not what he was looking at. He wasn't even looking at the Father here. When the Father would show him, he moved out from this jurisdiction. And I'll explain that, why he did that. I understand where his faith came from now. So y'all ready to take a little journey today? The Father said, I'll walk in you. John 17, this is the Lord's final prayer, the biggest prayer of all. He said, I will that you be with me where I am, that you may behold my glory, which thou hast given me from the foundations of the world. So he's saying, I pray you be with me where I am, that you may behold the glory. What he was talking about was, I pray that you be with me where I am in the Father, that you may behold my glory, which is the Father. Now, what we have come to understand about the glory of God is a lot of times we're beholding from where we are, but there is no limitation in that beholding. The only thing that limits the beholding is you. And the only thing that limits it's your perspective of what that is. You're beholding, you can write this down if you're writing notes, him that was, him that is, and him that is to come. You're beholding the Father that inhabiteth eternity, past, present, future. You're beholding the Father, and because the Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father. He described himself as him that was, him that is, and is to come, and he described the Father as him that was, him that is, and is to come. You have no limitation because the Lord's the doorway to him that is to come, to him that is, and him that was. That's what Moses really did. He beheld the Father and what he did in the first five books of Genesis. Moses wasn't there for most of that, but God walked him through it. It's a glorious place. All right. So with that understanding, when he says, I can only do what I see my Father do, he wasn't looking at the Father the way we look at the Father. First of all, he was not praying where we have been praying from. He was in the direct presence of the Father. And that's a huge difference. He was where he was in the Father, where he's trying to get us. He wasn't trying to pray and God to filtrate this whole kingdom through this second heaven filtration. He bypassed it, seated in heavenly places in a direct line of communication face to face with the Father. So when the Father would show him something, when he would reveal something to him, he was face to face. Now that is a difference. Now I'll show you the difference. The difference is being, how many of you have gotten a word, a revelation, dream, or encounter from God and exploded on the inside of you? Raise your hand. Praise God. What God has done with that is he's taking the glory of that realm that he sent it from, especially if it's involving your future. He's taken the glory of your future, capsuled it up in a little seed, taking it through, and he releases it through an operation of grace and explodes on the inside of your spirit, and you feel the glory, the life, the love, the power, the hope, the faith in it. It explodes and you feel it because it was sent from a realm that we don't live in or we haven't been living in. It was sent from not only a future realm, but it was sent from the Father's heart. The Father's heart. And when it was sent from the Father's heart, it had the full expansiveness of the Father in it. The Father's glory, the Father's love, the Father's life, the Father's fullness. God the Father is the original dreamer of all things. He dreamed up the whole earth. He's been dreaming of your life from before the foundations of the world. Said his thoughts towards us are without number. Innumerable, if you would count them, you couldn't. But if I asked you to close your eyes and say, what are the thoughts of the Father towards you right now? What's your first answer? List 10 of them. We have such a limited perspective. We know who he is, but do you know who you are in him? Do you know how full his thoughts are towards you? How glorious they are? How full of life and love and fullness and joy and every other thing you can imagine? He is personified fullness, personified love, personified life, personified expansiveness. That's who the Father is. He speaks the universe and it's still moving by the speed of light. That's who he is. Nobody can contain him. And so when you are found from the foundations of the world, he's been dreaming of your life from before you were ever born. Dreaming of a plan and a glory for you. Dreaming of restoring you, drawing you out from the world, restoring you the image of Christ, and then releasing that plan into you. What he requires more than anything is for you to agree and see what you are in him, who you are in him. We have no problem knowing who he is. We have no problem shouting it from over here. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. We have no problem saying I'm loved, but there's a difference between saying that and being the presence, the direct presence of the Father, and he transfers living love to you, and he tells you he loves you when you're face to face with him. That's a different kind of love. Same way when he sends you a word down here, it has all of his essence in it. That's what I didn't understand. I said, why is it when you send us a dream or a vision or a counter or a word, and the explosive properties of it are there, but then all of a sudden it runs out? Why can't I wake up with that same explosiveness the next day, the next day? Because that faith that that word came with, why can't I just keep that? Why can't I just walk that out? Why can't it just stay with me long enough to start manifesting? There is an operation called the gift of faith that allow you to do that. But why can't that just be that way? Well, first of all, God sends it into a jurisdiction that the enemy has a legal lease to operate into. Both kingdoms are fully licensed to operate here. God's kingdom and the devil's kingdom. Both of them. You also receive it in an environment you're living in. You're receiving an environment. It doesn't take an account when it comes in any of the dysfunction of your life. You ever notice that? It doesn't matter what you're feeling like. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what somebody thinks about you. When it comes with the explosive fullness of the Father. That's why it's so enlightening. And for those 1, 2, or 3 days, it's on you. It's on your lips. It's on your mouth. If it's powerful enough, it'll stay a week or two. And then all of a sudden, you get back into the routine. Right? And all of a sudden that word goes into the prophecy shelf. And guess what? It was so glorious. Father, give me another prophecy. Give me another encounter. But he said the just doesn't live by encounter. They live by faith. Do you know what the Father was actually doing? I didn't know for the longest time what he was actually doing. I know now. Okay, so Father's over here in the glory realm because it's who he is. He has personified all things. Fullness of all things. The Lord thought enough about the Father. He died for you to get you back to him. Not just for salvation. He wants to get you back in the presence of his glory, his joy. Father, I'm returning to the glory I've had with you from the foundation. He didn't even like being separated from him. The Father's awesome. So Father God is sitting here from the foundation of the world waiting on your birth in the earth. He's been dreaming your life. Thousands and thousands and thousands in millennial years before you ever came along. You were in an expansive part of the Father's heart. And it's huge. Think about how big the Father is. He can contain every one of us. And it can contain the full plan in a dream state of his own. Even before the world was, he dreamed the whole world up. It was all in him. And when he spoke from the essence of who he is, and the Lord being the creator with the Holy Spirit initiated that spoken word and created with it. So what the Father does is he sits in this glorious realm all by himself. And he sees you and finally they're born again. I got them in a good church. Praise God. Let's send them a word. God takes a part of the image of who he has. Now get this. That word is not just a word. It's a living image of the Father's faith that he will hold in his heart to the very last day of your life here. Even if you never fulfill it, he'll never let go of it until you go. And if you let go, somebody else has to take your place. If you didn't do it, he'll assign it somebody else because his purpose. But he has this dream for you. He has two great images for you. One is to be conformed to the image of who he is in Christ, or Christ is the firstborn. To be conformed to the image of Christ, love, life, righteousness, all of those aspects. That's one image. The other one is the image of who you are and his plan for you and what you're going to do with him, co-laboring with him. So when he sends you an image, he can send you either one, but he'll take something out from his heart. And when he does, he'll hand it to the Lord. The Lord hands it to the Holy Spirit. This is the way they work. You see it in Acts. Father sent the Holy Spirit to the Lord because they both said it. My Father will send the Holy Spirit. I'll send the Holy Spirit. I'm like, which one is sending the Holy Spirit? They both are. Father sending to the Lord. Lord sends the Holy Spirit into the earth. God gives it to the Lord. Lord gives it to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit takes it. And because he dwells in you, bypasses the second heaven, he comes back over here on this side. And now watch what happens. You're just praying. You're laying before the Lord. And all of a sudden, every part of you is like, whoa. I used to come out from that place because who I was. We're going to do this today. Let's get it on. I didn't understand there was a little process. Now, because I didn't understand what to do with this thing, I understand to keep it. Now, it's been a long journey to get to manifestation phase. Tell you what the Father told me about how long it's going to take to give a full birth in the last days. I'm going to tell you right now. He said you're going to be able to give a full birth within 30 days in the last days. But you're going to have to understand this realm to do that. It may take you a whole lot longer than 30 days to get to this realm. But once you get functioning in it, and I'm going to show you why. Because what we've done with this is we've kept it, or we may not have, or we went and talked about it for 3 days. It went on a shelf and we've gone right back to our routine. Do you know what the Father was actually doing and why he sent that to you? He wasn't there to give you a little hope. He was sending you an invitation. He was sending an invitation. He's sending an invitation to your future. Now, when we're young and we get that kind of thing, the first thing we want to do is employ our human sufficiency and our works, our toil, and our labor, and we want to go try to produce that. And God said, nope. So that part has to get over. How many of you have been thoroughly exercised in Uzzah? Raise your hand. Ishmael, Amalek, you've heard it. How many of you feel like God's gotten you past that particular capacity? Raise your hand. You're in good shape. That's a good place to be, because if he hasn't got you past that, you're going to try to take that God-ordained image. It's like trying to drink a glass of water with a cap on. You're going to try to take that image and produce it. So we know we can't do that. So we know we've learned that we can keep it. But now I've learned another level. God the Father's over here. He's going to send him an invitation. Send them a capsuled invitation. When he sends that to you, when he shows it to you, it's his invitation that he took a reality of your future from his living heart, his immeasurable thoughts. Listen, when God sent that to you, it had an eternal thought structure to it. It's been sitting in him, incubating for eternity. And now you've come along. This is how valuable you are. He counts the hairs of your head. He is so detailed over your life. And because that image, it's been reverberating. You don't have to have all the faith. You just got to get up into his faith. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live is by the faith of what? Christ, of the Son of God. So, as he opened the door and he sent that word, what was he looking for? He's saying, you can now come into this part of my heart for you. I've opened the door. I don't want you to go try to do that, because that's not how we do it in the kingdom. But what you can do is take that image. And if you learn to take the image when it's first given, bring it back to me. Bring it out from here. Don't do it here. Too much stuff. The reason why he doesn't like you to do it here. There's too much second heaven interference, too much soulish interference here. There's too much, way too much interference. I mean, we come out of the glory realm. I can just feel stuff in the church when I walk in. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to feel that stuff. I want to feel your glory. Just get me back in the glory. I don't want to feel everybody's stuff. I don't like it. I'm readjusting my feeling center because my feeling center is used to just gravitating to feel people's stuff. And I don't want to feel. I want to feel the glory on your life. I want to feel the glory, his glory, because I just come out of his glory. I want to stay in his glory. Hallelujah. I take that and I climb back up his mountain. And I go through the whole process and surrender and all that and doing it in. But comes time for the dream state, what I call the perambulating. But what I'm doing now is I'm taking that particular deposit with me. And that deposit I'm bringing up to him or his word. And what I do is the first part of it, Lord, I agree with everything you said. The most time when God sends you something, the Bible says his thoughts are what? Higher than your thoughts. So we're thinking from a religious sense, God's thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You're never going to obtain them. That's not what he's saying. He goes, I think about you a whole lot higher than you think about you. I have a much greater image of you than you have of yourself. My thoughts cause you to soar. That's actually what the word higher means, to soar. My thoughts cause you to expand because my thoughts are expansionary. My thoughts come from a realm of life, love, freedom, joy, fullness. My thoughts are so full for you. They're much higher than your capacity to ever think about yourself because they don't come from the fallen world. They come from the fullness of a life, an eternal life. And so when I send my thoughts, they're going to be higher than where you are. They're designed to get you to soar. They're designed to get you to mount up. Another word for that is to mount up. You're supposed to mount up. You're not supposed to shrink back. You're not supposed to let somebody cover and clothe and cloak you. You're not supposed to allow this world system to veil you. It's with an unveiled face beholding in a mirror. You're supposed to agree. Bring his promise, bring his words, and then rehearse everything he said about you. That's going to be hard for some of you because he's going to speak so far higher than where you are right now. I remember when he used to start telling me, you need to say this about yourself. I'm like, God, I'm not saying that. He said, say you're a king. I'm like, I am not going to say I'm a king. He said, you have no problem saying you're a priest. He said, say it, I'm a king. I'm a joint heir. I didn't say I'm a joint heir. I said, say I am a king of the house of Judah. That when you died, you legally died of the Atkinson birthright. And when you were raised of the tribe of Judah. And you have royalty in your veins. And because you have royalty, you're in succession of the line of kings. And you're going to wear the literal crown of David upon your head. Say that. Well, I can say it now. But boy, when I first started doing that, he gave me the revelations. I had all the revelations, but I couldn't see that part of me. So sometimes you can't make that jump. Sometimes you're going to have to make a auxiliary jump. But you can't go that far. If you're an orphan, you can't go that far. But I could still keep his word in front of him. I kept his word, And then he ordered the transformation to begin to believe like that. But here's the glory. Here's the glory around. He said, my thoughts are innumerable. So innumerable that you couldn't even count them. I'm going to do a little exercise today, and I want you to close your eyes. For the next 30 seconds, I want you to think not about your thoughts of who he is. We kind of know who he is. Think about his thoughts towards you. Have you ever thought about if they're innumerable, if they're eternal, if they've been with him from the foundation? What does he think about you? I didn't say, what do you think about you? I say, what does he think about you? What does he have planned for you? What does he have in store for you? What does he want from you? How big is his thoughts for you? All right. You can look up now. Some of you, sadly, can't even hardly bring one or two of those thoughts up. Some of you will first think, well, I'm loved. That's a good thing. Some of you can't even say I'm loved. And yet, here's the Father over here with a whole expansive realm from the foundations of the world that's dreamed your whole life. But more than a dream, his dreams are not like your dreams. His dreams are incubating within himself in a realm of life and love and glory and grace and freedom. And so when we were tapping into this, what we call the perambulating with the Father, that we would see something we knew that was his ordained will for us to do. And we would go out with him and the Father, I will walk in you and perambulate. We would just begin to see and say what that was and look at it. And we would begin to feel what that felt like. And as we begin to live in that realm, when we first started doing it, it was good. It was anointed. But then I noticed the Father started showing up. And I'm like, whoa, God, the Father's with me and doing this and his joy. And I'm like, this is kind of awesome. I mean, and I started fellowshipping. It was very unique with the Father around his will, a God ordained future. I started fellowshipping with his presence. It wasn't just a faith venture. He came up there and just started showing up. And I'm like, man, that's powerful. I said, that's really powerful. And that was my first thing. And then as that began to progress, we started getting deeper, deeper, deeper into the Father's fellowship over our future. It was really amazing. There was joy and glory and fullness. And unless you do it, you won't know what I'm talking about. Because it's not just envisioning your future out of your head. That is definitely not, or even your heart. It's dwelling with the Father in your future. And that's where we had preached up to last week. Except something else happened. As we got up in there, Father started interacting in there. He says, do you know what you're doing? I'm like, following you? Probably not asking for my wisdom in the matter. When God asks you a question, he's most likely not looking for your wisdom. He's looking to show you something. He said, you're connecting into the frequency of the Father's heart. And what you're connecting with is not anything new. It's new for you, but it's been incubating in the Father's heart for eternity. Those thoughts in that realm that you're touching for the first time and you're with him, those thoughts are innumerable. And they're far higher than you would have ever. And they have glory with them. And they have life with them. And they have love. And they have fullness. Now, I'm used to dwelling with God in fullness, but this was something that pertained to the actual future, not just the image. And God, the Father, was there. And I'm thinking, what is going on? He said, you're tapping in to the Father's heart. More importantly, he said, you're dwelling in the Father's heart, plan, and innumerable thoughts towards you. You've moved into where I am in the future, where the Father is for your future. And that process has not already been thought out, planned out, purposed out. It has all the faith with it. It has all the joy with it. It has the power to produce it. He says, if you will continue focusing, because it became a reality. Anna and I would literally start walking out there. I'm like, at one point in time, I couldn't discern the difference because it was so real and so glorious. And one part of it I'll share with you, it doesn't matter what my future is. What matters is your future. But Anna and I are going to have another wedding, and we're waiting on that wedding for very specific things to happen. But those specific things happening will produce that wedding, and that wedding is a result of other things happening, very big things that we're asking for. But we were perambulating this wedding, and I saw the song we were married to. I heard the song Eternity, and I saw her in the dress because she has this picture right next to my bed of her wedding dress. And the first time I saw that, I brought that into the... See, God a lot of times gets you to lock in, but then I saw the future where we were in that wedding. That's a very specific thing. You'll all be there. And you'll remember, I told you this was going to happen because I've already lived this out. And every time I live it out, it's just glorious. That day that it was from the beginning, and I found out how to take a word or a promise and live in the glory of it all the time. Because he says, you're living in a God-ordained promise of mine,
But what's so beautiful is all the things that are happening before that wedding are actual manifested promises I've been waiting a long time for. So that wedding not just represents the wedding, but it represents some very key manifestations to get us to that point. So he's using the wedding as a focal point that has to happen, but everything else is automatically given. And because when we're in that, and I start hearing the song, and we're in this wedding dance to eternity, and I'm looking into Anna's eyes, and we're doing this, and we do this together. We're doing this together, and all of a sudden, we're caught up in this realm, and we're both going, whoa. The living Father's with us. The living God's with us. The glory's there. The fullness is there. The life's there. The joy's there. It's like God took that vision from eternity and brought it to us where we are, but instead, he took us from where we are and brought us into the vision of his heart for our future, and we get to dwell in the Father, and he walks in us, and we walk in him in a state of our future, and because we're doing this, the glory of that gets on us. The life of that gets on us. The faith gets on us. The presence gets on us. It's lighting me up. And I love it. And I come back to this realm after doing something like that. And this realm is different now. It's not like before. I don't feel discouraged. I don't feel disappointment. I don't feel walls between me and God. I don't feel like that is some distant land that I have to wait on forever. I feel manifestation. I feel Father's given me this. God has authorized us to do this. I feel authorization from heaven. I feel faith. We brought faith from that realm. I'm like, God, there's faith in that realm. He goes, you got that right. Because God is faith. There's faith in that realm. I'm like, I didn't have to generate this faith. I just dwelt in it. He says, you did. And now I'm awakening to the realm of the impossible. You have to understand, there are about 3 to 4 very impossible things that have to happen for that wedding dance to occur. But he didn't deal with the impossible. He just took me beyond it. For in giving the wedding dance, he gave us everything in between. But I'm not dwelling over here. I'm in the Father's will. And because we've tapped into it, he said, do you know that what you're doing will actually happen exactly the way you're experiencing it right now? Every feeling, every emotion, the glory, the faith, the love, the tears, you're feeling, you're transported there. He said, you are dwelling in the Father that is to come. But that will for the Father is expansionary. And because it's always in him, it never leaves him, you're just being invited into him in the same way that he comes down to your life. He's inviting you to dwell because you acknowledged and recognized that it was his will. I said, what else could I look at in here? He said, you can look at all of my will for you. I will reel it out in stages, but he goes, I've already shown it to you. He goes, I already gave it all to you already. It was all right here. He goes, but you've been carrying it so long, it's just words. And you've been holding it, but now you've moved into the reality of it. And this is what he told me. He said, do you understand that anything the Father has called and ordained you to do? Boy, I'm telling you, the enemy doesn't want you to hear this stuff. That the Father has ordained you to do and called and has already dreamed it in his heart. When he sends you a word, he's given you the authorization to come and dream with him. You're not dreaming your dream, you're dreaming his. And his realm is full. It has every part of your life. That's why when you're coming out, you're not doing your own thing. See, in the world, they have this thing called the secret. Oprah does that kind of thing. And they have all this positive thinking. That stuff works because it's a dominion mechanism. But what it's doing is drawing on the power of the world system, the heart mechanism. We don't do that. We need to draw on all of that is counterproductive, and all of that is simply a counterfeit of the true. What we're doing is dwelling in the God ordained future. What's in your future? It depends on how expansive your revelation is. What is in your future for your family, your husband, your children, your ministry, your job, your financial future, your health. What is in your future? What is it that God's told you? Well, he'll just do it when he gets ready. I'm sorry, but there's a whole lot of people that have gone to heaven with that kind of mentality. If you believe that he'll just do it when he gets ready, he was ready when he sent his word. You have a part in the equation. And so you recognize you have a part in the equation. God doesn't do anything without human agency. He gave dominion to man. He's not going to bypass man. If he did, he would swoop the whole world up right now, take us home in glory. He doesn't do that. He delighted in operating with man, and he sets man, and he restored the garden. He sets his will. But if you want to know the reality of God's will and the joy and the power, you get in his heart concerning his will and you focus into what he said. And in the beginning, I was just seeing and saying it, but then it became a living reality. It shifted. Something happened in there. God the Father came up around it. Now I'm finding that I'm actually dwelling in the Father in a very specific ordained will that he has for both Anna and I and you too, because the things got to happen are going to affect you. For that marriage, but that marriage is my focal point. All I got to do is just go to the marriage every day. I just go right there. And what's so awesome about it is the glory that's on that day that will literally happen exactly the way we've seen it. That glory shows up every time. I'm like, wait a minute. This is just like you sending me a word for those 3 days. I've got this oomph. I can go into the oomph every day. He said, that's right. You're dwelling in the place it was sent from. I'm like, God, nobody's ever, ever, ever told me. He says, I'm telling you. I'm like, Psalms 33:11. The counsel of the Lord will stand forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Watch this. The thoughts of his hearts are from generation to generation. God's thoughts are to you before you were ever born, but they continue generation to generation. You can plug into his thoughts. They're there. They're living. They're just for you and God. And those thoughts are going to affect people, because God's not just going to bless you. He has a plan to turn you to the world. I'm going to expand in the days to come how to dream. He says, I have a dream for your city. You know how you know that? Because he keeps sending prophecies throughout our city. Those are God's dreams for the city. He wants somebody to hear what he's saying. We don't need another prophecy. We need to go where the prophecy came from. I have a dream for every sick person and every diseased person in this city. My plans for your church are far higher than your plans. And you can't be planning things through human agency and think that you're going to attain. We have to, even as leaders, come up to do things God's way. He goes, I didn't ask you to build something like everything else is being built. I'm asked you to follow me. Now I'm asking you to build my way. He goes, if this realm was so easy, everybody would be doing it. It's really not that it's not hard, it's we haven't understood how it works. He said, the realm of the creative, people think, well, the Holy Ghost is going to fall out. That's the gift realm. He's going to take people as far as he can in that realm. So watch what happens. I'll give you an example. This is all we all do. We have repentance service, cleaning in the house services. We do all those. So here's what happens. So we do the whole repentance thing. Now God bring revival. He still has to come in through your image. If we don't have that, and it's not at the level it needs to be, he can't bring it through. Amen? How do we get expanded? We go to where he is. And we sit with him in a specific part of his heart. Whether you're doing it for your family, whether you're doing it for marriage, whether you're doing it for ministry or business, you sit into that area is this church what you see it to be? I'm like, no, it's not what you want, God. I've been trying forever. He goes, I know you've been trying, but that doesn't get it work. Trying is not what I'm asking you to do. He goes, I want a center. I want an apostolic center that has the full creative miracles flowing through it. And I want every expression of every office flowing through it. I'm like, Lord, we've tried this. He goes, I'm not asking you to try. And I'm certainly not asking you to build it. But I do want you, and I have a constitution. I said, Lord, we've done all these things. I mean, we can write books from this stuff. And God said, there's a table you can come and sit at with me. And you can specifically, in the beginning, it's like anything else you do that's going to get mechanical. You're going to feel like nothing's working, especially if you've never done it before. You're not tuned in. It's a frequency at the right hand of God. It's a frequency in the Father's heart. You're going to have to get fully tuned to that frequency. You're not just going to come out of the world having been untuned and unaligned all these years, and all of a sudden I'm just going to tune, zip, tune into the glory of God. Bam, boom, boom, shakabuka, and there it goes. Bam. He goes, it takes a little bit of more tuning. But here's guys like this. You got a Todd Bentley. Comes on the scene. Dysfunctional orphan boy. All kinds of issues. Gets clean. 6 months. He's tapped it. Tapped into this creative realm of God. In 1 year, he's in full-time ministry with a $12 million a year budget. Going crazy. He's got every gift imaginable working. Everybody's loving except he forgot the orphan thing. And it caught up to him. But what he did do, he had this innate capacity, and I never understood it. God is not going to deny your faith. That's what you don't understand. He tapped into the Father's dream realm. He talked about being caught up into the Father every day. He would be so caught up from the time he'd wake up, he'd be caught up. He could ask for peanut butter, and somebody would bring him a jar to his front door. He said, I was so caught up with the Father. But he left that place. And he built a machine instead. He'll tell you. I'm not telling you anything he didn't know. And it caught up to him over and over again. And the enemy negated it. People don't understand what happened. See, he missed the part where I will introduce you to my Father. My Father will love you. Then you can transact with the Father. He just went to the transacting. If you just go to straight transacting, you're going to miss something. He's got to deal with this stuff. I had the same stuff. Lots of stuff. Doesn't matter what happens. God's image will transform you. He's good at it. He's really good at it. The problem is we try to do all that here. We're not so good at it. We're really not. That's not where the power source is. The power source is in the Father. So let's get back to what the Lord said. There's another Psalms verse there that says, the thoughts of the Father are deep. Listen to me. His thoughts towards you are deep. Say deep. When I asked you a minute ago to close your eyes, you were probably very surfaced with it. It's okay. You haven't tapped the depths of his heart for your life. When you do, you're going to come, oh my God, my Father loves me so much. I can't believe how much he loves me. You're going to walk around in tears for a while. And then, after you walk around in tears, and he cleans you up, and he fixes you up, and he says, do you want to transact with me? Problem is, our image center, not lining up with his image center, he's got to tear the veil down. What do you say, unveiled face? You're not going to go up in this realm with veil. You're going to have to go to Jordan, get the veils off, and then come. Sometimes he'll strip the whole thing down. I'm like, God, did you leave anything? He goes, don't worry, I'm going to clothe you with myself when we're done. I'm like, come on. So you get back up here in the Father's heart. And he says, you want to transact with me? I said, do I want to transact with you? Are you kidding? He says, you're going to have to do this by faith. I said, yes. You're going to have to do it my way. I said, yes. He goes, do you know all that's in me? I said, yes. He says, so come and dream with me. Now, in the beginning of the dream, because I know where to dream with him and how to focus into a position. All you have to do is one focus. And God will start painting the whole thing around one focus. See, the marriage was the focus position. And from that, he starts painting the whole thing and it starts broadening out. He broadens out. And as he's painting it, the whole faith for that realm is flooding my heart. I'm not generating this faith. I'm tapping into it. That's a difference. Here, before, when we would move mountains, I had to generate the faith to do it. I'm not generating faith. I'm tapping into His. He's been doing this a lot longer than me. I've been on His heart a lot longer than I've been alive. In His specific plan for Anana, which is going to affect you, and seriously affect us, has been in His heart a very long time. And He's been dreaming of that day. I'm like, how long have you been dreaming this day of? He said, at least a couple of millennials before you were born. Let's not go any further than that. I'm like, wow. I said, you really enjoy this kind of thing? He says, more than you could ever know. Because I'm feeling joy. I'm feeling the animacy. I'm feeling the glory. I'm feeling like Father is... He loves this kind of thing. I'm like, why didn't we do this before? He goes, mainly because I didn't want you doing it as an orphan. It's dysfunctional. You weren't ready for what I want to introduce you to. Because I want to introduce you to the kingdom. And I want that kingdom to come into the earth. And this is where we're going to start. So we go back to this focal point every day. But now the glory's starting to grow. Like it's expansive in there. And I'm like, we're coming out with a level of faith that I wasn't able to achieve in 30 years of trying. And I'm like, I want to go do more of this. He said, it's open. He goes, it's always been open. The Lord said, I died for you to come and what? Behold my glory. He goes, what do you think I was doing at night when everybody was sleeping? I would go, every time you see a great revival. Now, the Lord was so skilled at this, He could incubate it in one day. Every time, if you'll go read of all the revivals, back up, and you'll see He's prayed all night. He prayed all night. Most every single time you'll see He was in the prayer mountain, He'd come down. Poof. Everybody say, well, that was the Lord. No, He was incubating with the Father. He tapped into the Father's will for the next day. What is it you want to do, Father? And Father would show Him. See, God, the Father's pre-planned all this. He wants us to get ahead of the game, not behind it. He wants us to get in front. He went in front and He perambulated in the Father and He dreamed all night. He fellowshiped with the Father around all those people getting set free. That's why when He didn't get in front of them, He already knew their name. He knew what was going to happen. He already knew what was going to happen before. See, when this realm, you're so ahead of the enemy in this realm. You're so ahead of Him that you're simply walking out what you fellowshipped in. And with His case, it was the night before. He goes, but you can get good enough at this within a month, give birth to something you see. He says, it won't happen like that in the first part. But as faith arrives, as you start seeing manifestation, your faith's going to go through the roof. And it's going to break out corporately because that kind of faith in life is so contagious. Even some of your hearts are starting to fill up now. But if your faith is starting to rise, when you see the Father move at these levels, that's why I said, blessed is the poor, for theirs is the kingdom. I'm going to show you how to shift your generation. He didn't leave you poor and say, blessed you are to stay in your poverty. No! When the Lord came, He was talking kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. I'm going to get you to the Father. You're going to dream of the Father. You're going to behold the Father just like I'm beholding the Father. You're going to see what the Father doeth. You're going to sit there and sit in the glory. Because He was tapping into the faith of the Father. He's tapping into the glory of the Father. He sat there and He got clothed up in it. He says, now let's go do it. He walked right out and do exactly what He saw. Not just saw, because we all saw that, just seeing what He dwelt in. Dwelling in the frequency of the Father's heart. But we're dealing with promise, but you can do the same thing if it's Him it's related. You're starting to see it. Let me just say a couple of these scriptures. Psalms 139. How precious are your thoughts towards me? Do you see God like that? Or do you see Him like your father? Your natural father. How precious are your thoughts towards me? How great is the sum of them? If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. Now watch this. Who wrote that? Who was David? A man after what? Maybe being a man after God's heart has something to do with tapping into the frequency of who you are in Him. How often does God actually get the joy in who you are in him? You never receive it. We never see it. We hardly ever look at that part of it. We just think God's going to fall on us and let's go. But David said, he obviously tapped into something. He said, oh, how precious is this plan and your thoughts for my life? How you're so honored and favored, because when you get in that place, you're going to feel the Father's honor. You're going to feel his favor. You're going to feel his glory. If I could even try to count the sum, and I tried to get you to count a minute ago. How many did you count? He couldn't number, because he tapped in to the immeasurable Father. And it started to expand and explode on the inside of him. He was tapping his next generation. He saw the temple. I want to build you a temple. He goes, oh, not so fast. Slow down, cowboy. You've been a man of war, but I'm going to let you design it. I'm going to give you all the intricate details of it, and I'm going to let you pay for it. He tapped into the next phase of his sons, and his faith went out. That's why Solomon didn't have to do the labor. David did it for him in faith. Solomon, all you had to do is just stand in it. Boom, go. David already marked it out in the Father. That's why he was a man after God's own heart. Maybe it has something to do with you connecting with who you are in his heart. Maybe God has a whole lot more joy than we have ever, ever realized. How much joy he has. I'm like, man, I've been doing this for eternity. Welcome into the party. I've been alone watching you do your thing over there, which ain't my thing. That's your thing. This is my thing. Welcome. And if you get enough of those slam dunk baptisms in the Father, you come out, you got a new image. Man, I have just come out of the presence of God. I feel a whole lot better about myself. Because he's not building self. He's building his perfect plan for you. And he's clothing you in it. And I'm like, oh my God, what could we do with this realm? He said, everything. You can dream all the way into your next generation with it. And you can even prepare their way. I'm like, whoa. 139:18, and if I should count them, they should be more in number than the sand. He says, when I'm awake, I'm what? I'm still what? When I awake back from being in the Father, he was caught up in the Father. See that? He goes, when I awake, I'm still over there with you. Isn't that awesome? Jeremiah 29, I'm going to let y'all go meditate this as we close. I know the thoughts that I have towards you. Do you know what he's talking about? The thoughts that I think towards you, O Father's house. Says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. God wants to give you your future. God wants to give you hope. God wants to set his glory on the inside of you. And when I awake, I'm still with you. That is such a good scripture. When I awake, I'm still with you. It's that kind of faith is the it factor. It's coming directly from the Father's house, been incubating for eternity. You're tapping into the incubation of the Father's heart towards you. And that is part of the glory the Lord introduces you to. Isn't that awesome? How many of you have been inspired to go up the mountain and dwell with the Father? I can't produce your will. I can't produce your future. But he can. He can take the limitations off of you. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah.